Welcome back to the Better Than Best Academy. It's your host, Red, and today my guest is nothing short of extraordinary. He is a writer, music producer, all the way across the pond in Manchester, UK. His name is Patrick Jagger, and I'm super excited to get into a interesting conversation with this extraordinary guy. Before we start, I always like to break the ice, Patrick, and I would love to ask you, what would make today's conversation extraordinary?
Wow, that is a tough question. Got me off guard there, Red. I think just to inspire somebody to build their own project, work on their passions, and to hopefully inspire one of your listeners to create a better life for themselves, a happier, healthier life.
Most of my audience might be meeting you for the first time. I would love for you to just kind of share, who is Patrick Jagger?
Oh, be a pleasure, mate. So I'm 34 years old from Manchester, England. I know I don't look it, but from Manchester, England. I've been for the past 5 years, I've been building my own online businesses, which include writing online, selling music, licensing music, and also an Etsy seller as well.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. What was it that got you into this?
Well, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I've always enjoyed, I'm always twitching to work on passion projects and side projects because I've never been fully satisfied in my full-time employment. I kind of fell into a job, which I don't really, really like. You know, it's just not me. So I kind of have to work on my own projects on the side. So I kind of was forced into it. And then a few years ago in 2020, I lost 3 jobs. I got made redundant or laid off 3 times in 2 years. So that was pretty brutal. So therefore, it just kind of fanned the flames within me to start building my own projects and standing on my own 2 feet.
Man, I love that. And I agree. I've got that entrepreneurial spirit that itch to follow so many different passion projects. You said that you make music. I'm interested to hear a little bit more of that. Like, what got you started into making music?
Well, that's kind of my trade, if you will. So I've always played in bands. I'm guitarist, stroke, bass player, but yeah, songwriter. So I've been producing music for about 10 years on and off. Yeah, that's just what it'll never leave me, that, you know, I was speaking to a friend the other day about, he was asking, oh, are you still doing music? And I'm like, I think I'll always be doing music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I've realized now that it'll just never leave me. So I can't. I've got too many songs and too many ideas to record.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I totally can relate with that. I actually was a rapper for like 10 years. And obviously, I'm still writing music. I don't necessarily like pursue rapping full time because there was a time where that's where my life pivoted. But as you can see behind me, the drum photo and my little green screen. But yeah, I played drums for my church for close to almost 10 years now. So yeah, music has always been a huge part of my life. So I definitely can relate. And I think it's something, there's just something about, I feel like we were created to create. And some people don't get that. And for some people, it's not music. Some people, it's not art. But I feel like even business is a level of creativity. And yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts to kind of dive in a little bit deeper in this idea of creativity. When you hear the word creativity, what do you think?
Well, I actually believe that a human being's natural state is a creative state. So if you've no healing to do, and you're either healing or creating to me.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, the fundamentals of it. And so I just feel like everybody has creativity within them, but they just might not have found the right thing for them. You know, like I said, it could be music, writing, building businesses. You know, I think you could even include sport in creativity. You know, you watch, I'm a football fan or a soccer fan, as you might say, and, you know, you could be a creative midfielder, couldn't you? So yeah. I think our natural spirit is one of creativity. And it's something that I've always personally, I'm not satisfied unless I'm working on a project. So, you know, whether it's music or business, I'm just kind of, I don't know, I feel like that's where we find our fulfillment, and that's what we're meant to be doing. You know, there's this term that you hear, the term, the creator economy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not a new thing. That's the creator economy was born when we were created.
Seriously.
By the creator.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that creativity and healing also are one and the same, because I can think back when I was writing a lot more songs than I do get to now. And there was these spaces in my life that the words that I wrote were a healing, not only for the people I was trying to reach with the music, but for myself. And I believe that so strongly, that like we were created to create. I'm curious, what would your like one big piece of advice be for someone? So say someone's listening to this podcast right now, or maybe they're listening to a clip later, whatever, and wherever it finds them, what would be that one piece of advice you would tell somebody that's wanting to get started in this creative creator space?
Well, it just to find your inspiration, find whatever inspires you the most, go after that. So whether whatever you enjoy the most, whatever you're most inspired by, start doing that and start applying and learning to, so you can begin to pursue projects and a career in that. So if you love music and you're inspired by music, then, you know, start to learn an instrument or start to produce. If you like to write, then I'd suggest to read. So read lots and then start to write. I'd just find your inspiration and go after it, because the space for everybody in the creator economy. So everyone can contribute.
I love that. Find your inspiration. I'm curious to hear, Pat, what inspires you to create?
Well, like I said, I'm a musician first and foremost.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really inspired by people who are building their own personal brands, like such as yourself, you know, and who are writing on Twitter, creating videos. I just think that's really I'm inspired by people who are taking control of their own destiny and going out and doing what they enjoy doing, and then which will then eventually lead into a career or, you know, a lifestyle where you're happy and fulfilled. So yeah, other people who are creating on YouTube, on Twitter, on TikTok, I find that most inspiring.
I've not
created a YouTube channel myself yet, but it's on the list.
It's coming. I love that. That's so cool. If you could have an honest conversation with the person who has influenced you and your thinking around this creator economy, what would you ask them and discuss with them?
I would ask about how to use your strengths and interest, and to be able to take those strengths and interests and convert them into an offer. So a product or a service to sell, because I find that is one thing a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
So they might to find that offer. So if I had the opportunity to speak with a well-known creator, then that would be it. I'd really want to know how they would go from that, taking that strength, that interest, that passion, and transferring it into an offer.
That's awesome.
Everyone wants to live off their passion, don't they? Everyone wants to get up and do something they love and be able to feed the family doing what they enjoy. Yeah.
That's the goal for so many, especially those listening.
Yeah.
I'm curious, I'm sure the people at home, who would you say are your top three biggest influences and inspirations in that creator economy space?
There's a guy called Justin Welsh. I think he's very inspiring. Do you know him? From Twitter and LinkedIn.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah, Justin Welsh, he's a writer. He does his newsletter called The Solopreneur. I think it's called The Saturday Solopreneur, it's called.
That's cool.
Also, Dan West, who's another writer on Twitter. Do you know Dan?
Yeah, I've seen Dan.
Yeah, just because he's actually doing it. He's doing that. He's built a business and he's gone to, he's moved to Bali and he's actually living the life, you know. And also just the fact that he tried so many businesses and learned and then took everything he learned, moved to Bali, and now he's living the laptop lifestyle over there.
I love that. I love that.
And then there's a kid called Jay Yang on Twitter. I really like him. Yeah, he's only young. I think he's 18, 19. And to see what he's done by such a young age is very inspirational.
Yeah, there's some young people, especially on Twitter, and they're just crushing it. It's so cool. It keeps me young, I feel like. As you've started this journey of building your personal brand and building a business off of your strengths and your passions, I'm curious, what has been some of your biggest challenges and how have you overcome them?
My biggest challenge I found was I suffered from burnout. I had a massive burnout because working full time, parenting, doing all the other stuff, what comes with general day-to-day life, building online businesses. So I think the biggest challenge I've faced was managing my time where I'm also leaving time to switch off. I think it's really important to switch off because it's like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So if you just go into it too fast, you end up burning out and then you struggle with, once you've kind of fallen off and you've burned out, you need to fan those embers to get going again. And that can take some time. I think definitely make sure to take some time to rest, even if it's a couple of days a week, just make sure you have a few hours doing relaxing, you know, have a bath, go for a walk, do some exercise. You've got to let your brain switch off. And that's one thing I've always struggled with. My brain doesn't stop. So I've so many ideas. And it's been difficult to manage that. Manage your time where you're being, you know, you're being productive, but you're also not burning yourself out.
For sure. Man, I'd love to dive in a little deeper on this burnout because I feel like it's such a struggle and a challenge for us that are in this space because I feel like you're in this constant tension of being so hardworking but forgetting to take care of yourself because, I mean, it's so easy to do. Right. I mean, a lot of my life up until very recently when I got very focused and made a priority to find that rhythm of rest, I feel like it's so essential for us to do that. But I'm curious to dive in and get your thoughts a little bit more on burnout. What does burnout mean to you and how would you describe your current relationship with it?
Well, what happened for me was I started having anxiety attacks.
Yeah.
Well, just out of the blue, really. So this was, I'd say, 3 years ago. I remember one day I was in the shower and I literally just had like a panic attack, my first ever. And just out of nowhere. And I was like, really, it was a strange feeling. I don't know if you've ever had a panic attack, or just like a wave of emotion just came over me. And I was just like, I was on holiday at the time, in the shower on holiday. Yeah. And I know what it was. I was just nonstop. Just, I think at the time I was doing Amazon. I had an Amazon business for a while. Yeah. I was doing Amazon, working full time. On holiday, I don't know, it all got to me. And my body just said no, basically. So, my brain said no and just shut my body down. And it took a long time to recover. I ended up learning a lot about neuroscience and psychology and kind of understood. And I started to understand, really, what caused it.
Yeah, for sure. Man, and first off, I'm always grateful for people that share the vulnerability and the side of that. Because it's not you, especially being online, it's so easy for us to just put up our success, our wins, win, you know? And I always appreciate when someone shares that vulnerability. And I can relate 100%. I remember when I started dealing with anxiety, probably it got to its worst, like all at once. And it was definitely a a reflection of burnout. Because for me, like early 2020, so like right before we went into lockdowns for the pandemic, I was working a full-time job. I was about to be a father. So like my wife was pregnant. We were planning for that. And we got into a space where it was like, I was going to be stay-at-home dad. But at the same time, I knew something else is in me. Like, you know, you got that entrepreneurial spirit. At the time, I hadn't really started out. Like I started my podcast in 2018. So I was like kind of podcasting, but nothing super serious. And everything shut down. So like I wasn't like serving every Sunday at my church. So that kind of went away. But I was helping produce like the online stuff because I went to college for music production. So like I get where you're coming from in that space. And I was helping our sound guy produce a lot of our online worship experiences. So I was doing that. I was into this full-time job still. Had a kid on the way. So we were planning that. We were like nesting and doing all those things. While also the world's technically shut down. So I never had to leave work. And for someone who can be a workaholic, I was like, great. I never have to waste time to go to work. Work's right here. And I just like went in overdrive where a lot of people scaled back. I went to overdrive. And then sure enough, I went to overdrive and I actually left my full-time job to be full-time dad and try to start my own thing, which was a little early. Should have waited a little bit, but you know, you live and learn. And year into having him, so we like early 2021 and I was full-time with him, you know, like world starts opening back up. My wife goes back to her job as a hairstylist and it's just me in this little bundle of life that I'm responsible for. I can remember like having to take walks and literally having panic attacks on those walks. I physically felt ill, even though it was all mental because my brain just couldn't shut off. So I definitely can relate to how a result of burnout is anxiety. And then you have to trail back. I'm curious, you battled that anxiety. What was some things that you might have think were the triggers for that? Like, can you identify any specific triggers or factors that contributed to your burnout?
Definitely. Not taking care of myself, trying to do too much, not finding time to see my friends and see myself kind of just full on. So just not finding time to do the things you enjoy, you know, those things that you, when you were a young child, what did you enjoy? Sometimes you got to go right back to your childhood and just start doing those things what you enjoyed. So yes, but spending too much time doing things I wasn't particularly joyful about. And also something just slightly out of the box as well, not breathing properly, because I've learned a lot about breathing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that Andrew Huberman.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. So once I've learned, I feel like I've really improved at breathing, and that makes such a difference. Like breathing through your nose and not stopping mouth breathing, and that really helped. I definitely recommend to just spend time to watch a few Andrew Huberman videos. They're great.
Andrew Huberman, Wim Hof. There's a few great ones out there, but highly recommend that, because if you can both focus on your breathing and learn to breathe properly, man, that's such a life changer. And I can agree. That's
take it for granted. Every breath.
Curious, what are your personal boundaries and limits when it comes to your work, relationship, and self-care? Since we're on this topic of breathing and stuff.
Well, I meditate daily these days. So either before bed or when I get home from, I work 35 hours a week, almost full time.
Yeah.
So I meditate as soon as I get home. It all depends on where my daughter is.
I get that.
Our kids are the same age. So was yours born in 2020?
Yeah. So I have two. I have a son that's 2.5. So he was born in October, the end of October in 2020.
Oh, right. My daughter was August 2020.
Nice. Yeah. So they're right there. And then, my daughter was born this past February. So she's 4 or 5 months.
Oh, right.
5 months now. Yeah. So definitely been an adjustment. I'm grateful for my wife's schedule of being off on the weekends so I can schedule my podcast on Fridays and Saturdays and stuff like that.
Cool. Well, it's difficult to find that time the dad to meditate and take some self-care, but you know, it doesn't even take that long. You could spend 10 minutes in a good deep breathing exercise. And if you do it consistently daily, it makes such a difference. Give it 30 days to, you know, if you're feeling stressed out and you feel like you've got a lot of brain fog, then just try a deep breathing exercise for 10 minutes a day. You do it whenever you can. Try, you know, I personally do when I get home from work or just before bed, and it really settles me down.
I love that. Yeah, I think it's so interesting. And I'm so glad that meditation is getting the light of day that it is, because it's so important. And it's funny because as high achievers, as entrepreneurial type people, as even creatives with these minds that are always going, it almost seems like counterproductive for us to just sit still and do nothing. But it's so life-changing. Yeah. So I'd say I've always been also into cold exposure. So ice baths. It started with cold showers, and then I got the little portable ice bath. I've been doing ice baths daily for over 100 days straight now, and it's just life-changing. And what I like to do is I like to do it. So first thing when I get up, I get the ice in so it gets down to the right temperature. I'm in Texas and it's in my garage, so sometimes that's a lot of ice. And then I'll hop in the cold plunge for about 5-6 minutes. It's in the cold plunge that I'll do a meditation. And right now I've been doing these guided meditations from Spotify. For me, they're kind of based off of also on my faith in Christianity. So it's really interesting. So I've been doing these cold plunges with the meditation. And it's amazing to see that, because obviously you're getting the crazy benefits. And I believe it's the deliberate cold therapy that helped me kick the anxiety. But the combination of focusing on the breath and the cold therapy is this crazy thing. And I believe when it comes to these routines and these self-care routines, if we can stack a couple of things, it's like the compound effect. Like if you can, and I mean, for some people, I understand like the barrier to entry can be too high. Obviously, not everybody's got access to a cold plunge, but even so, even just a quick cold shower can make a difference. Or like you said, even like 10 minutes of meditation, you could go to YouTube or Spotify or whatever you listen to and type in meditation and you'll find something. But yeah, I think those are beyond crucial for finding that and reinforcing those boundaries. And I love that whole idea around that.
Yeah, you've gone for the double whammy there, haven't you? With the deep getting it all. That's very a very productive way of practicing self-care. But just touching on where you said about linking your faith in with it.
For sure.
I started doing frequency meditation. So do you know, have you ever heard of the solfeggio frequency?
Yeah,
so I've started doing that, 174 hertz to be exact, listening to basically like deep healing frequencies, but they're all, they have to kind of trigger the certain emotions, certain feelings within your body. You know, certain frequencies can get your, you know, your lymphatic system going, your blood circulating. And I've done a lot of research into that recently. And yeah, it was only last night, I think I did a hertz healing meditation. So interesting.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of the frequencies is fascinating to me. Cause I'll put on some frequencies too. I go back and forth. So it's like every other day. So when I'm in the cold plunge, it's a form of meditation, either with a guided meditation, or it's one where I'll throw on some of those frequencies. And I'm sitting in there, which is super, it's a double whammy for healing, because it's like your body's literally healing for the cold, but it's also healing with the frequencies. And then I'll do affirmations, declarations. So like I am statements. I do a couple of those because there's such power in those as well. And definitely. I think just tying those in, because it's so interesting, because when you're doing something like deliberate cold exposure, you're like shocking your physical. And when you're shocking your physical, you're almost like taking control of it. Yeah, like dominating it in a way where your spiritual kind of is able to take over. And it's really interesting to see the correlation of both. Because like I love the quote where we're spiritual beings having a human experience, not vice versa. And I love that idea. And I think that's great that you're getting into the meditation and the frequencies.
Yeah. And the with the affirmations, if you do them in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're triggering the mirror neurons. Mm-hmm. So, and that is, it goes straight into your brain that way and can be even more effective. But I'd like to just emphasize that you've got to keep it up for at least 30 days. You know,
oh, yeah.
Do like one, have one cold shower. That's,
exactly. You know, it's the consistency of it.
Yeah, because your body has created, and your brain have created habits over many, many years. So to get out of those habits, you've got to take, I like to say, at least 30 days to try and build a new habit.
Yeah. And don't do it just because it's trendy. Like, that's what kind of frustrates me about, like, I think it's great that cold exposure is being pushed to the forefront, and a lot of people that wouldn't have done it would do it. Yeah. But I mean, like, I grew up an athlete in school. So, like, I knew about cold exposure as, like, a high school kid and, like, even into college. And it's interesting to me. Like, I love Facebook memories sometimes. Sometimes they're so cringy. But I saw one, and it was, like, 12 years ago, and it talked about taking an ice bath because I had, like, a leg day the day before or something. And I'm like, you don't even, and it frustrates me because when you start thinking about, like, when something becomes trendy, then it becomes almost comical. And you're like, it's kind of frustrating. But yeah, I think it's so essential to, like you said, the consistency. And it goes back to the barrier of entry of do what you know you can't. Because even if it's like working out, like my former boss, I love on her podcast and her YouTube channel, she would always say, don't look at the hour you don't have, look at the 10 minutes you do. And it's so easy for us to think, oh, it's going to take so long to do this. But even like you said, with the meditation, you've got 10 minutes somewhere in your day. And if you can't invest 10 minutes into your life, then I guess your life doesn't matter to you, right? And it seems crazy to say, but I truly believe that that's important, because it's when we're able to first show up for ourselves. And you hear a lot of people, they'll be like, you can't pour from an empty cup. Or, you know, like, you've got to fill your cup up. And I think that's so important, to the point of overflow. And that's how I feel. If you can make the adjustments in your schedule to make a priority to make sure that you're at your top level of performance, your top level of mental, physical, all those things, then you're able to impact others. Then you're able to show up for others. And that is, like, so important, I think, as a father even. Because if we're supposed to show up and care for our wife and care for our kids, if we're showing up on 50%, we're not giving them the best. What has your journey been like juggling growing your online business and brand while being a father?
Well, she comes first. So but a lot of it gets done once she's in bed and at nap time and at weekends. So, you know, we're quite lucky where we have help from the in-laws, from my wife's parents especially. But a lot of it gets done once she's in bed. But I know a lot of dads-to-be or guys who are friends or, you know, or ladies who are wanting kids, who they'll say to me something like, what's it like when you have a child? Do you still get time? You know, I don't want to have kids yet because I want to do this and I want to do that. What I've found since my daughter came along is that I'm actually more motivated than I was before, because everything I do now is for her and for us. So I'm actually more motivated. Yeah, there is less time, but in a way, you waste less time when you've got a child, because, you know, before, I don't even remember what I used to do before she came along. I was sitting around and wasting time. But now, I don't know, it's almost like now she's here, I've got more of a purpose, and I find I'm more motivated to make myself happier so I can make her happier and make myself healthier. So I'm there for her. And I'm no use to anybody if I'm burnt out and feeling down. So to any future parents or anyone who's thinking that they want kids, but they're concerned about the time and, you know, and whether they'll have the motivation. I've found that like the opposite has happened. I thought, oh, I'm not going to have any time to do, to, you know, work on my music, work on my writing. But I do find time because I have to be more productive and I'm more motivated now.
I love
but
that.
But yeah, a lot of it gets done when she's asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you said that you don't know what you did with all that extra time. And I think the same thing. Like I'll be talking to people and they're always, I don't have time to do this, this and that. And they're like single, no kids. Yeah. And I'm like, are you sure you don't have time? How much time are you wasting? And it's amazing how much we realize that idea of when we have the responsibility of taking care of another human, that I didn't think I could love another human as much as I do my kids. And it's so interesting how when you find that and you experience that, how it truly comes on camera. This figured out. There we go. Okay. And it's funny how you find that there is time and you find that motivation is a whole new level in so many people. Yeah. And I hate to see it on social medias and stuff. They're so against having kids, but there's something beautiful about having kids and building a legacy and living a legacy. And I could talk about that all day.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of shift a little bit. And I love asking this question. I'm sure you've probably heard it. It's one of those questions that's getting popular. But I'd love for you to take a moment and picture you're at the end of your life and you've achieved all the things you want to achieve. You've lived like the top level life that you could ever imagine. And you're on your deathbed. What do you want people to remember you for?
I'd have to say being a good dad. Just being a good dad and making a difference to my family's life where I've improved their life. I've made them proud of me and their life has, I've done something to improve their life and especially my daughter. You know, I just want to be remembered for her that she's happy and she loved me. Simple as that. You know, it's one of them ones when you're sick or when you, all you want is to be better again, isn't it? So it's kind of, if you think about when you're ill or if you're on your deathbed, none of the material things matter, do they? All that matters is your family and your friends. And so I just want to be remembered for that I've made my daughter happy and healthy and gave her good opportunities and any other kids what might come along.
Love that. And I believe you are. I don't know you much, but just hearing your heart and the way that you talk about your daughter and the way you just light up, I feel like you're already doing that. And I just want to encourage you with that. Cause I know as a father, we don't hear that enough. It's easy to be, oh, it's just old dad over there just doing what he can. But I really believe that there's a whole generation of fathers that are very present and being what they need to be for their families. And I believe that you're probably one of those, because just like we rescheduled this, we were originally going to do this last week, and then you had something come up with your daughter, and you did that. And that means a lot. That says a lot, because a lot of people would just try to make something work because it's an opportunity. But you said, no, the family's coming first. Mm. We can reschedule this. And we did. And here we are. And I think that there's something to be said about that. And I believe that you showing up as a father is going to take you so much further and make such a bigger impact than anything you could ever do with a song or anything you could ever do with your music. So I just wanted to encourage you with that little bit.
Yeah. Well, everything I do is for her now, you know, before she came along, I almost like, I don't want to say selfish, but everything I did was just for me. And now I look back and I think, I was tired of just looking after me. You know what I mean? I wanted to focus on some, giving rather than just creating for myself. It was all very, I was definitely ready to be a dad. So, but yeah, everything I do is to make her life better. Ultimately, kind of, I don't need much, mate. I'm happy with the basics. You know, don't get me wrong. I'd like a Lambo and a nice house, but I'm not really. I'm pretty basic guy. I'm happy with you know. I don't spend much. I'm just happy with nice food, family, friends, and that's all I need. So,
yeah, the main thing. Huh?
My books. Do a lot of reading.
The books. I love that. I love it, Pat. Well, I'm curious, as we kind of start to wrap up, I would love to just give you a second to, and I'll get your information from that form, but take a second and just share where people can find you, connect with you. Because I'm sure someone on this podcast is like, this Patrick guy, I like him. I want to hear his music. I want to see his writing. So just take a second and kind of share where the people can find you.
The best place to find me would be on Twitter. So it's @itspatjagger. And you can find me on Instagram as well. Same handle @itspatjagger. Yeah, so it'd be great if anybody listening would like to contact me for a chat and you know, so we can connect. That'd be great.
Awesome. I love it. Well, one final question before we stop the recording is, and I love to ask this because I can ask questions all day. That's what I love to do. And after this, actually, I'm a guest on another podcast, so that kind of makes me sweat a little bit. But I prepare for that by asking my guests, do you have any questions for me?
I'd like to know what your plans are for the future. For, you know, do you plan to have more kids? Do you have any new businesses coming up, or are you continuing with to just build the podcast and your TikTok? Because your TikTok, by the way, is superb. You're doing a great job with that.
And I appreciate that.
Is that what are your plans for the next 12 months? So,
man, I would say, well, definitely when it comes to the family and the kids, I think we're set with two. Now, obviously, if whatever happens and we ended up having another one, that would be okay. It would be a little stressful. I feel like with two, I'm able to be the most present I can. Now, this is me saying this, and it's the future. I have another one. I'll probably be the same way. But, and then as far as the business goes, yeah, I'm really interested in building this podcast and I appreciate the kind words for the TikTok. And yeah, ultimately just building this kind of coaching practice of helping, you know, men beat burnout, creative men beat burnout, leave their 9-to-5s, because I know how that feels. But ultimately helping others really discover their identity, because that's what I went through in this journey. Shoot, I'm still going through that journey. I think we all are always constantly getting that. But just helping be that guide, being that, partnering with people to see that you can try to do life alone and you can get fairly far fast, but you're not going to get really far, and you're not going to be super fulfilled, because you're probably going to burn out. You're probably going to get into these spaces of being overwhelmed, and you might not be at your full potential. And like the Better Than Best Academy is that idea of having these conversations of, a lot of times we can't see 360. I always like to say that. Like, my son could have stuck a kick me sign on my back and I wouldn't know it until someone came behind me and kicked me, or they took it off and said, hey, you got a kick me sign. And I feel like my business and my coaching consulting is like that. It's like, I really want to come and provide and hold that space for people to come to realization of their full self and what they were created to create. And that's kind of where my mind's at, my meaningful mission, because I really want to help impact people with that, because I know what it's like to be the opposite. I know what it's like to wake up and dread going to a job that you hate, or even it's a job that you feel like you're stuck in because it's safe. You know, you've got a decent salary, it's comfortable, but what's on the other side of that? You know, what's on the other side of the comfortable? Like, if you could step out of your comfort zone, I feel like we all have greatness inside of us. And it sounds so kind of cliche to say and kind of rah-rah motivational, but I truly believe that. Like, we've been created to really make an impact uniquely. Like Pat, I couldn't say the words and make the music that you make, and just like vice versa. And I really, and I just really want to partner with people, have more of these conversations with interesting people, and just really connect and try to make the world just 1% better.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Keep, you're doing a good job, man. Love the podcast. So yeah, keep it up.
I appreciate
it. I have one more question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Who's your, it might be off the top of your head, who's your favorite drummer? Because I know you're a drummer, aren't you?
Who's my favorite drummer?
There's off the top of your head. Yeah, it's going to be a lot. Do you like rock or is it more soul or?
Man, or I pull influences from so many different people. Like I love Questlove. I love him.
Just about to say Questlove, I bet you like.
yeah, Questlove's crazy. And there's a few kind of like not super well known, like they're on TikTok and YouTube. There's this metal guy and he's got this huge beard. And the ability he has to be so fast, double kick, his hands are fast. Yeah. It's mind blowing. And it's like he'll play and he'll like drink coffee with one hand and just be like killing it.
Really?
And I'm like effortless. And that just blows my mind. There's that guy. And there's so many, like obviously, rest in peace, Taylor from the Foo Fighters. He's amazing as well. Like there is so many greats out there. It just kind of depends the mood, I think, too.
Yeah, I like all genres. So yeah, I could choose Ringo, and then
Ringo's great as well because he was so innovative. Like I loved, someone was like doing an impression of Ringo and he was explaining them writing songs. And it's like, you could have played this. And it's like the most basic, like kept the time, was very solid foundation. But Ringo was like, no, I'm going to play this instead. It's much more interesting. Yeah. And it's like that creativity. Yeah. Like I love to pull from the creativity of not just being what seemed like the unorthodox approach. I love that.
Oh, well, Ringo's a perfect example of that.
Oh, yeah. Even his life. He lived that. Like, and I thought that was so cool. But yeah, there's so many great drummers. I could sit there and think about drummers and watch drummers all day.
Yeah.
But man, Pat, I've appreciated our conversation. It's been great. And I feel like there was a ton of value on a different level. It was refreshing. It wasn't just because, you know, you've seen podcasts that are very almost surgical and scholarly to the point where it's hard to kind of delve into the things that you really could apply to your life. And I feel like there's tons of practical tips and advice, and even just it was entertaining to hear your story and see where you're coming from. And I'm definitely rooting and cheering for you to do all you can do. And don't be a stranger. We'll definitely stay connected. And we can wrap it up. If you could wrap it up, what is one thing you would say to someone right now? One word.
Create.
I love it.
Just
create.
Yeah, and hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah, hit him up. Hit Patrick up on Twitter. Follow him. Connect with him. Actually connect with him. And I think it's interesting. I'm recently back on Twitter, and that's how we connected. I almost wrote it off completely just because I wasn't super into it. So it was nice to get back on Twitter because I feel like there's a lot of community aspects going on there that some of the other ones may lack. But yeah, definitely give Patrick a follow on Twitter. Give me a follow on Twitter and all the other places as well. But you'll be able to see all his information in the description and the show notes, wherever you're listening, watching that. All the usual things that we say here. But with that, I will stop the recording.